Things are happening. It's happening, and it's happening now. And everything is speeded forth now for the bringing about of God's plans and purposes in the earth.
Have you ever wondered what heaven is really like? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim as they begin a dynamic new teaching, Heaven is a Real Place. Now here's Gloria.
Hello everybody, I'm Gloria Copeland and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We've got our special guest with us today, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And Billy's heard from the Lord.
Yes.
So don't be listening to anything else right now. Hallelujah. Billy, welcome. We want to hear what the Lord's saying to us today.
Yes, I have heard from the Lord. And I've been on a quest. And I'm going to talk about that all this week.
Good.
Then we'll talk about it next week. And I would encourage you from day one to be here. Or to put your special recorder on where you can record the broadcasts. Call your friends and neighbors.
Yes, amen.
Because things are happening. It's happening, and it's happening now. And everything is speeded forth now for the bringing about of God's plans and purposes in the earth.
Amen.
And I want to read you something that I have written in the front of my Bible. It comes from Clarence Larkin's book, Rightly Dividing the Word. The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise on theology, history, science, or any other topic. They are a revelation from God of His plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and the human race.
Hallelujah.
Actually, it's His plans and purpose for all the universe, says all of creation. We don't have everything revealed to us here, but we do have us revealed right up to and through the millennium. And so God's plans and purposes, if you want to read the book of Ephesians right now, it's so important for the church, and meditate it, and you might take particular note where he says, according to his plan, according to his purpose, according to his eternal purpose, the purpose of the ages. And so things are happening right now, and I've got some things to tell you. And I need to speak about something, my right to tell you. And it has to do with the ministry to which I'm called. We're all called to special ministries, you know, in the earth. And once I was seeking the Lord about what is my ministry. You know, there's the fivefold ministry, and we'll talk about that too. But he said, he brought me to this scripture in Acts chapter 26. And this is Paul. And Saul changed later to Paul. This is Acts 26:13, and he's recounting the road to Damascus experience. And he says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. They speak Hebrew in heaven. And God spoke Hebrew when he created the earth. And he said to Saul, he would have pronounced it with the Hebrew pronunciation, Shaul, Shaul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose. You're just going to find that God is a God of purpose. Mm-hmm. To make you a minister and a witness of these things which you have seen and those things in which I will appear unto you. I have appeared to you to make you a minister and a witness. And so the Lord said to me, that's your call. Your call is that of a minister and a witness. And he takes me around the world and causes me to witness, hear, and see things, and then I'm supposed to be telling the body of Christ, telling others about what I see. Now, when he spoke to Paul, this is very interesting. He said, I will deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And to the Gentiles, he said, you're to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And that word translated power there is exousia, and it means authority. So he said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to tell them that they've been translated out of the authority of Satan and they've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Hallelujah.
And he said, now you're a minister and a witness. So the Lord made me to be a witness. And then also I am a minister. And we have in that wonderful book, the book of Ephesians, which has God's purpose for the church. And I think the church doesn't realize who she is at all. That's why we need to be meditating in the book of Ephesians. But he said that he gave some gifts. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit gave us some gifts, and then it tells us that the Anointed One, the Messiah, gave us some gifts. And here are His gifts. This is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And here are the gifts that He gave, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the church is going to come into the image, the very image, the fullness of the stature of the body of Christ. And he gave some fivefold, we call these the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, I worked for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, and he had a school for ministers, and I've done books for him about what are these ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. And Brother Hagin, I'm going to tell you about an experience that I had, because the Lord wants me to tell you that I'm going to be teaching this week with a prophetic anointing. I'm going to be sharing with you with a prophetic anointing, something that God has showed me that has begun to happen and will increase from here on out till we are the perfect man, very image of Christ. In the early 1980s, well, in 1980, I left Brother Hagin's ministry working for him, and I started a full-time ministry in traveling and preaching. And Brother Hagin asked me to come and do the, he taught every afternoon that he was in town in Tulsa in a prayer and healing session that was in the afternoon. And when he couldn't be there, he asked other people to come. So he asked me to come 1 week and speak for 5 days, Monday through Friday. I can't exactly know when this was, but it was in the early 80s, 1981, 1982, 83. And so I preached all the week, and then on Friday, when I preached, at the end of the preaching, the power of God struck me, and I fell down at the floor. When just people are out there in the audience, and everybody started praying.
That was a little more unusual.
Unusual, and there were, I can remember some of the folks that were there that were prayer people, and they came up, and they didn't touch me or anything, but they just stood there and quietly prayed. And while I was out on the floor, I had a vision. And the Lord Jesus came and talked to me. And I didn't see Him. I heard Him. He stood to my right. But I saw the things He talked about. And the first thing I saw was a typewriter. This was BC, before computer. And I had done all my editing and ghostwriting for other people on a typewriter. This was an IBM one that I saw. And I saw a page was in the platen, you know, and then I saw it just roll out, fly up to the ceiling, and fly away. And the Lord said to me, that phase of your ministry is over. Now, Brother Lester Sumrall had heard that I had quit working for Kenneth E. Hagin, and he had called and asked me if I could do a book in 3 weeks, and I said no, and he said, well, you can if you work night and day, and I went, and we did the book called Jihad. Then he asked me to come back and do another book, and I did. I went, you know, just stay up there 2 or 3 weeks and do the book. And so then he was putting the pressure on me to work for him. And he said, we don't need more preachers. We've got plenty of preachers. We need some anointed writers and editors. He said, we used to have Stanley Frodsham. We used to have this one and that one. He named them. And he said, so anyway, the pressure was kind of on me, you know, and he was asking me to do another book for him. So this paper went out of the typewriter, and the Lord Jesus said to me, to my right hand, that phase of your ministry is over. You are not to write any more books for other people. You will write books for yourself. You will write your own books. And anything Kenneth E. Hagin ever asks you to do, you do it. For you are connected to him for eternity. He said, look where you have fallen. Well, that was the place where Brother Hagin taught Rhema classes and taught every afternoon. And it was behind his pulpit, which they moved wherever he taught. Mm-hmm. He said, look where you have fallen. And I'd fallen on that carpet right there. I just thought of it, but cloth can hold anointings, you know. And I fell on that carpet. And he said, I brought you to the feet of the leading prophet in the land when you did not know there was such a thing as prophets. Look where you have fallen. You, and then he talked to me about my own life and ministry, and that I would stand in the fivefold gifts that Brother Hagin stood in, prophet and teacher, not to the degree of his, a lesser degree, a lesser anointing, but in those same offices. And he spoke to me some things by the prophet's anointing, and I'm not going to say everything that he said, but I do need to say that I am going to be ministering this week in the prophet's anointing. Because when you say it, if it's true, now everybody running down the pike calling themselves a prophet is not a prophet. And I don't say it every time. But I'm saying it this time because it's going to work better in me if I say it. Now, I went to Brother Hagin after that and I told him about the whole experience. I want him to judge it. And the one part I particularly wanted him to judge was the part that said, you are connected with him for eternity. And I said, Brother Hagin, could that be true? You know? And he said, yep. That was his answer. Yes, that can be true. So then I saw from the Lord had said to Brother Hagin, it would behoove you to study out all the scriptures in the Bible on glory. And Brother Hagin got them all together and he typed them all, had them all typed up. And then as the Spirit would move on him in a service, and I'd watch him, you know, he'd be sitting up on the platform and he'd kind of jump a little bit. He'd look in the back of his Bible and he'd find that page that he had got those scriptures and he'd just start reading them. And when he started reading those scriptures on glory, then someplace in the service, a cloud would start in the back of the room like a rolling wave. It was like a wave more. It would start in the back and billow up toward the front. And it would sometimes pick up all the people. And sometimes they'd all go out under the power or bring them to the altar or throw them around. And Brother Hagin, he would step out of it. He saw it and he would just step back so that he didn't go down under it. So the Lord said to him, it would behoove you to look up all the scriptures on glory in the Bible. So I figured if it would behoove him, it would behoove me. So I started looking up all the scriptures and studying on the word glory in the Bible. The manifest presence of God. In the Bible, the glory of God is the presence God manifested so you can see it. Sometimes appear as a cloud, appear as a fire, appear as a smoke, mm-hmm. but there's always some manifestation of the presence of God. And then I moved on over into in the study in the book of Ephesians to the glorious church. And actually, this became like the theme of my scripture, of my ministry for a long, long time. I preached on the glorious church. I think Ken took those tapes that God gave me. When he went up to pray in 1980, he said he took those tapes on the Glorious Church and listened to them, that the Lord had told him to do that. And he preached on it for a while. And I preached on it for a while. And people didn't get it. And the Lord told him, they're not getting it. You have to wait, you know, to preach it later. So I kind of did that myself. But I saw that the church is destined for glory. It is destined to become a manifestation, really, of a glorious church. So in Ephesians chapter 5, and the middle of verse 25, this was my theme. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. And so I saw and I heard Brother Hagin preach that the church the Lord Jesus Christ comes after is not going to be scared, hiding in a rabbit hole. Nobody knows it's there and it's going to have a great escape. It's going to be a manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So now, in my studies, the Lord said this to me. In the glorious church, there are glorious connections. Connections that I have made. The Bible says he said in the church as it pleases him. He said some are from the past. You will be connected to certain ministries from the past. Like, for instance, with me, it's particularly like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, mm-hmm. Sister Woodworth Etter, ministries that had a manifestation of the power of God, and others. And then he said there will be people in your own lifetime you will be connected with, like Brother Hagin, like Sister Wilkerson, like you and Ken. And he said, you'll work together. You're in the body. The body is a type of the body of Christ. And you'll work together like fingers on a hand. You can't, he said, work continually because you're still in human bodies with the whole body. You can't know everyone in it. You can't work with everyone in it. But you're going to work with these. You're not going to be cut off and floating out in space like a hand chopped off from the body. You're still connected to the body. You honor the connections. You scratch the back. You rub the feet of the body of Christ. But you're going to work mainly with these people. In the glorious church, there are glorious connections. Now, recently, in my quest that I'm on, a lot of it has to do with two people that are connected by God, and that recently had a connection in their homegoings. One of them, Brother Oral Roberts, a great general.
Yes.
In God's plan and purpose. And the other one, Billy Joe Doherty, the pastor at Victory Christian Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, along with Sharon. Now, these two were connected in their lives. Mm-hmm. And they were connected at their departures. And around these, God has spoken to me, and I'm going to share with you some of the things he said that has happened, particularly with Brother Roberts. Now, Gloria, you said here, two of the largest funerals I've ever been to in my life.
Right.
And they were really memorial services. Mm-hmm. Because in both cases, they had had graveside rites. And then in both cases, they had huge funerals in the same building.
In a month's time.
Yeah, say how you know it was a month's time.
Well, Ken and I were in Colorado, and we were there for vacation, and we weren't coming out was our plan. But Brother Roberts left. Billy Joe left.
First.
And of course, Billy Joe left first.
Joe left on the 20th. He left in November, on 22nd November.
And then Brother Roberts
buried on the 30th. On the 30th of November they had his.
In the same month,
In the same 30 days.
We traveled from Colorado to Oklahoma in the same city twice within 30 days
For those two huge memorial services.
What are the biggest ones that we were very close to.
They were the biggest ones I'd ever seen.
Yes.
Billy Joel's memorial service was November 30th. That was a Monday. Exactly 3 weeks later was Oral Roberts'
memorial. And they were closely connected. They were very closely connected.
Absolutely. At Brother Billy Joel's funeral, they played a video that Brother Roberts had made out in California where he lives. Such a touching, moving video. And he said, I loved him, speaking of Billy Joe, I loved him as a son. And he said, I loved him next to my son, Richard, you know. And it was just amazing. And here at both of these memorial services, we saw people from around the world.
Absolutely, yes.
People from the body of Christ. Lots of people. I don't know how many the Mabel Stone holds, do you? Thousands.
Wouldn't be
10,000 plus.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, 10,000 plus. And here they were from all around the world. There were ministers, of course, who had come from everywhere in both cases. And then there were people of God who had come from everywhere. It remind you of heaven because you're going around, you know, and you're seeing people, hey, how are you? You know, yeah. I haven't seen you in 10, 20 years. Sometimes they had to tell us who they were. Because they grew older. Now, somehow I didn't.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. But anyway, they had gotten gray or whatever since they were students at Rhema or wherever I had known them.
Yeah.
But that was absolutely amazing. Actually, the three biggest funerals that I ever saw were Kenneth Hagin's was in 2003, and that was at Rhema's auditorium.
Yes, and it
was
full.
Can remember they had helicopters were going in the air, having to watch over the traffic. My Jesus! Now we're talking about Tulsa, and it has quite a place in the plan of God.
And we're talking about spiritual giants.
Spiritual, yes, absolutely. Leaders, generals, going home. And the Lord spoke to me particularly about the going home of Oral Roberts, and he did as well about Billy Joe. And we're going to take a week here to talk about it. Because the Lord showed me way back in like 2000, I'd say 2 or 3, that when Oral Roberts went home, there's going to be a major shift in the heavenlies. And we're going to talk about that more throughout the week.
We are not going to miss that, are we?
No.
Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois, at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savell, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org. As time accelerates around the earth, the reality of the kingdom of God is becoming more evident. An outburst of the miraculous is about to happen, and you are going to be a part of it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put together a special package of resources to prepare you for the next awesome move of God. The Signs and Wonders package includes The Signs and Wonders, a book by Maria Woodworth Etter, who some consider to have had one of the most powerful ministries of modern time. You'll learn about the Holy Spirit, the power of faith, and how to receive your miracle. You'll also get the exciting Believer's Voice of Victory series, Signs and Wonders, with Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. These broadcasts will teach you how to determine God's direction and be in the right place at the right time. Finally, you'll receive the landmark book, John G. Lake, His Life, His Sermons, His Boldness of Faith. Get ready to be a part of God's supernatural connection and His glory. Order the Signs and Wonders package, now available for just $29.99. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. The Signs and Wonders package will show you how to get the power of God working in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit kcm.org.
We've got something you're going to want. Everybody's going to want this. The Signs and Wonders package. To survive in these days, you're going to have to learn the ways of the Spirit. As we're taping these broadcasts, the terrible, awesomely bad earthquake in Haiti has just taken place. And it's so bad, of course, you know all this now, but there's just no answer for people except God. And that's just a little taste of what things are going to happen. I don't know how many things are going to happen before the church leaves, but you don't want to be unprepared.
Right, exactly.
And so this offer will help you. This is the Signs and Wonders package. Billy and I did these DVDs on the broadcast a few years ago on Signs and Wonders. Mariah, you said?
Most people say Maria, but it is Mariah.
Woodworth Edder's book on Signs and Wonders. She was a powerful sign-having woman of God. And then John G. Lake, this book of his sermons. I had this book printed because his sermons were like just in what back in the old days we'd call mimeograph.
Yeah, right.
And the lessons were like that, you know. And so we put this guy, he was just awesome. You know, you need to prepare yourself. You don't want to be lukewarm in days like we're having now. You want to be on fire. And you can't be on fire without knowing what's going on.
So power.
And the power. Receive it. Get born again. Receive the Holy Spirit. Find out what's happening and from the Word of God. So we want to make that available to you. And I want to encourage all of you to get it. And when you get it, read it. Spend time in it. Find out what the Lord's doing. Last week we had our Branson Victory Campaign, and it is always great to see our partners and friends in Branson. It's really one of my very favorite meetings. It was great. So if you missed it, go to kcm.org and watch the services. Glory to God. We're gearing up for 2010. Homecoming at Southwest BC this year. We're doing one convention, and it's in Fort Worth, and you're supposed to come. Everybody ought to come. We're saving up for one big wave. It's August the 2nd through the 7th, Fort Worth, Texas. You don't want to miss it. Don't miss it. This will be our 30th year, Billy.
Mm-mm.
30th year. Hallelujah. And so it's going to be awesome, and the Spirit of God's going to be moving. If you want to change, make a change. You get in the meetings. Watch the meetings, all the meetings on kcm.org in the broadcast. We're gonna set ourselves in 2010 to hear from heaven, all of us. We're going to come together. This is Gloria and Billy Graham.
Oh, that's all right. I've been mistaken.
This is Gloria and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.